Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
The Survivor Specialist, Phil and McKenna, are back. And today we are recapping week number one of Survivor AU Brains versus Braun 2. I have it as an episode 1, 2, and 3 recap, but you should have already heard us recap the premiere episode. But this is what it's going to look like from here on out. On Tuesdays during the day, McKenna and I will jump in. We will recap the week that was of Survivor AU, Brains versus Braun 2. That's a mouthful.
Though it did say like airing on Monday, the next episode. So I don't know if that comment was true.
I thought it said Sunday.
I could have been.
Either way. Well, what's going to happen is at some point, McKenna and I, probably on Wednesdays or something, or Tuesdays. The goal is for it to be Tuesdays, if that is accurate, which I think it is, because I think Shannon is also podcasting every single episode. And I think she's doing Sunday, Monday, Tuesday moving forward. So whatever it's going to be, Herovia up there says next week onwards is Sunday to Tuesday. So that's what's going to happen. But so we're going to be talking mostly about episodes 2 and 3 here. If you want to hear us dive into the episode 1 boot and everything that went on there, go check out our premiere recap. But we will still talk about episode 1 in this one, because obviously it all plays into each other. Kent's insanity comes to a head here in episodes number 3. 4 people have been eliminated from the game already. I'm very curious to see how that's going to impact Australian Survivor, because for the seasons I've seen plenty of people get medevaced, but for the most part, whenever somebody gets medevaced, they're the only person who ends up leaving the game in that episode. So I am curious to see how Australian Survivor handles this, considering they already have so many non-elimination episodes. Now we have a player getting medevaced at the same time that a player goes home in the episode. I'm sure it's happened before, but like I said, I've only watched 2016 through 2020, and I'm just starting 2021 now. So if it has happened, I haven't seen it. And I feel like that's got to throw off their schedule big time.
Yeah, I think the only thing that I've seen is like when you get there's one person that gets medevaced. Well, not medevaced, but they go to the hospital because they have like a 24-hour policy with AU. And then they come back into the game and they're fine.
Yeah, and I've seen that. I mean, I've seen that a couple times. And it seemed like in this situation, that is what happened with Zen. Zen left briefly and then ended up coming back into the game, and turned out he had broken his hand, which is really a bummer. I mean, I really liked Zen. I will say I had a real oh shit reaction to that one, which I can't like say normally happens to me this early in Survivor seasons. I mean, we have seen some players though, like even in New Era Survivor, we saw Bruce go out really early. We saw Matthew get injured in the pre-merge portion. Now we're seeing Zen go out here. It feels like the people just like it happens. And this is kind of a poster reason for why U.S. Survivor doesn't tend to have players do such physical challenges anymore. Pretty much after James got hurt in Heroes versus Villains, and after you saw what happened in Fans versus Favorites and all of that, Survivor really does start to back away from the super, super physical challenges. They'll bring it back in certain situations, like Blood versus
Sumo
Water.
Let's see, or, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. But for the most part, they try to avoid doing it. And in this one, Kaylin hits him with a great tackle. Zen goes down. Zen still gets the point
in the net. Yeah.
Yeah. He got stuck in the net and hit it on the piece of wood at the same time. And even though it all looked like it was going to work out fine for him, his hand started swelling up, and sure enough, he had a fracture all the way down and they had to pull him from the game, which is a bummer. And it sucks when it happens this early. And I'm sure, especially with how Australian Survivor does work, I'm sure Zen will be on another season of Australian Survivor if he wants to be on another season of Australian Survivor.
Yeah, probably. Because I mean, that's what happened. It happens in like other seasons that I've seen too. So
I mean, Moana did it, right? Like Moana goes out because she's sick. They still vote her out. And then Moana comes back and goes very deep in All Stars. So Zen was somebody who wanted to be there. I think the biggest bummer about Zen going home is that we don't get to see what Zen's purpose was for voting for Nash. That's really the biggest downside, is Zen was clearly playing this game really hard right off the bat. And we talked about in our episode one recap how, oh man, Zen, this is crazy. Like, he voted for Nash after all of that. We got a 5-4-3 and Zen was one of them. Why did this happen? We're never going to find out, because Zen's gone.
And never find out truly like where he aligns with, and like that nitty gritty of what his game was, for sure.
Yeah, which is a shame. So Zen's gone. We also lost two other players, though. We lost two Brains, so we are still even 10-10 now. We lost Indy and we lost Kent. So Kent goes home in episode number 3. Indy goes home in episode number 2. McKenna had to remind me, because I do so many podcasts at this point, whether it's Patreon, whether it's this stuff, like whatever it is. I'm doing so many podcasts, watching so many different shows. Everything just spins in my head on top of regular jobs and stuff. She was like, you called it. And I was like, I called what? She was like, you called Indy blowing up. And I was like, I sure did. And then I had to go back
like
and rewatch
2 seconds right at the end of the premiere. You were just like, or, you know, Indy could just do something and it could be her. And you know what? It was her.
What was Indy thinking? Because it seemed like Indy was so set up. The coven was calling the shots. The women were set up. They bring in Rich. So I'm feeling really good about Rich, because that's my winner pick. And then it's actually like, actually, we really hate this guy. This guy's awful. Maybe we should get rid of him. And then Indy just starts running around telling all of the guys what's going on, but clearly did not have the support of the guys in any way, shape, or form.
Well, I think it's because she came at it so aggressively. Like, I think it was like, hey, just so you know, this is happening right now. Like, maybe we can form something to make this not happen. Get some numbers together. Who do you have? All of these girls are doing this, so maybe we can get some of the guys to protect you. But she came at it like, I'm doing you a favor. I'm doing this for you. I'm putting my neck on the line. It was just felt like my way or the highway. And that's how it always gets flipped on you. It's Survivor math, basically. If you attack someone with a plan, they attack it back on you.
Well, and that's what's really fun about being able to do multiple episodes at one time with Australian Survivor. And obviously this is the first time I've done it, but I have been doing it over on the Patreon. So you get to talk about a lot more that's going on, right? It's not just, oh, I did this one episode and then I moved on. It's like, no, there's a lot that's going on, and how one episode bleeds into the other. And we see AJ almost go out in the exact same fashion as Indy in the next episode, because AJ approaches Allie with a decision. They think it's going to be Rich. Everybody's going to be on board with that. And then it's like, actually, I want it to be Logan. And they're like, absolutely not. Where did that come from?
Yeah.
And so we see a lot of overplaying right now in these early episodes of this season. And I understand that Australian Survivor, like, it's a long game. But I feel like the overplaying is really on display here. Kent overplayed big time. Indy overplayed big time. AJ overplayed big time. He just happens to be alive still. And we're seeing that from quite a few people. Nash, obviously, like, he overplayed. Sorry, I don't know what's going on with my camera. It keeps flickering, right? You're seeing that too?
Yeah.
I don't know why that's happening. Hopefully my thing lives. If you watched Deal or No Deal Island earlier, my entire stream cut out for like 5 minutes, but I have my laptop right there. So if McKenna needs to talk, she can talk. I don't know why he's flickering like that, but all of that just to say, like, Indy's move was so bad, and I kind of felt bad for her, but then I didn't, because the women wanted the numbers. And I thought there was a really interesting bit in here, and I took notes. I never take notes for US, but because I knew we were doing this over the course of days, there was something in here about Rich's plan is to pretend to ride coattails.
Yeah, and he pulled
Max in with that. He's willing to just sit around and go with the women. Mm-hmm. And the women wanted to get the numbers. So to have a woman be voted out in that situation, you had to play that as horribly as you could. And Indy did.
Yeah. And then AJ did, like, I feel like did the same thing here in the second episode, just like followed in footsteps. He had the numbers with the guys and didn't need to tell a woman. He was like, it's risky, but I'm gonna try it anyway and get a girl on my side. And then he shot himself in the foot. If he just used the guy numbers, then they could have gotten Logan out, but he wanted to go big and flip a woman, and that it all blew up. Not totally, because he didn't go home, but that whole tribal council was like, when is the right time? When is the right moment? Maybe it's not now to, you know, act on emotion.
Really great gameplay though from Allie to so obviously be in the Coven Alliance, yet still have AJ believing that she's super tight with him.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that's what's being missed, right? Like, Adam Klein's tell-all after Winners Out, or after Millennials vs. Gen X, is one of my all-time favorite podcasts we did. And Adam always said, you have to understand the hierarchy. I don't know what is happening. I even unplugged the camera to try to make it stop. I have no idea what's going on. But you have to understand the hierarchy of what is going on in your tribe and in your alliance. Mm-hmm. And he would say, like, Michaela would tell stuff to Jay, and then Jay would tell it to Adam. And then Adam would go back to Michaela and be like, you got to be careful, because you said that to Jay and it got back to me. So like, Michaela didn't understand, like, she's not everybody's number one. And it seemed like that was the problem here with AJ. It looked like he was completely bamboozled that Allie wasn't on board with this idea. He was, I don't feel like AJ played this poorly. Like, Indy played it poorly. Indy, there's this, where is it right here? It's Matt Miller. Indy should have said, hey, let's vote for X next vote. Complaining you weren't in the conversation is a weird move. I totally agree with that. Complaining you're not in the conversation is a really weird move, because when you're complaining that you're not in the conversation, people are like, oh, she's not feeling like she's being heard. And that's a problem. AJ was more going in saying, I want to make this move. Are you guys willing to make it with me? And he just didn't realize how not in he was. And it almost cost him. I mean, ultimately, Kent was just such an easy target that AJ doesn't even get a vote. Ends up being 8-3. Kent goes home and Miles gets 3 of the votes. But AJ just got bamboozled by Allie. And so therefore, in my opinion, Allie is somebody to really watch moving forward, because that's the person. Her and Laura seem like the two who are bridging the gap between men and women the best. Right now, how long can they do that? There's always tribe swaps on Australian Survivor and all that, but that's how it feels to me right now watching these first three episodes.
Yeah, I think, and though now my only thought was Allie could be the expendable woman to the Coven, because she wasn't in the first, like, inside of the Coven. She wasn't at the creation of the Coven, so I don't know if they, like, give tit for tat with the man for a woman kind of deal here, or if, you know, now they have even numbers and Rich and Max just go alongside and AJ goes next or Miles goes next.
See, that's what I'm confused about here with how they're all playing. When you look at Rich's name keeps coming up on this brain tribe, right? Like, we're going to get rid of Rich. Okay. You can keep saying that, but Rich is just along for the ride, it feels like, right? Like, when you look at it, Rich's name kept coming up, but Rich actually never got any votes. Miles, Kent, Indy. Those are the only three people in these two tribal councils for brains who got votes up to this point. So if they keep trying to push for Rich, it's like, but is everybody just going to be more on board with getting rid of Miles? Miles just, or is now that Kent's gone, is Miles in a good spot? I don't know. But yeah, like trying to go after Rich so aggressively, I think the guys are going to get together. And I think in the preview, it says like the guys are doing a boys thing. I think that's going to happen. Now
it
that Kent is out of the game.
Now though.
And I think what it comes down to is, who are the women most likely to get to work with them? I think it would be Rich. So you can't vote Rich out to get the five men out. And maybe I'm totally misreading that, but in my opinion, that's where this is going. It seems to me like Rich is the most likely to work with the women, but also the most likely to create the men's alliance. You could say, well, Miles will work with the women. Okay, let's look at how Miles got voted for. Indy and Kent both voted for him. At this last one, it was Kaylin, it was Rich, and it was Kent. So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that's going to happen. Or maybe Kaylin and Rich are going to go back to Miles and say, the women sent to vote for you, so we thought that's what was going on.
Yeah.
And now Miles isn't going to want to work with the women. So this is up in the air for me right now.
I feel like, and also Kaylin, now we got some more Kaylin content, and that was really fun and nice. We didn't get his backstory, like with the big name and everything like that. But his coconut bar scene in the beginning of episode 2, we got to see like that the tribe is really vibing with him and a lot of people are wanting to keep him around. So, I mean, that I feel like that's why AJ went up to Kaylin and was like, everybody loves us. We should be a duo. And that's not the case necessarily. Everybody loves Kaylin, and AJ just assumed everybody loved him also.
Yeah, and AJ, it seems like, just totally misread the room. Like, just totally missed what was actually going on here, which is, you know, his problem, which stinks. But I do feel like Rich's position, Kaylin's in the best position out of the guys. I don't see Kaylin getting voted out. I'd be floored if Kaylin went at this point. You have Kaylin over there. Honestly, Max seems like he's in a good spot too, but any of the other guys I could see going. However, are the women going to play as tight? Is Allie really playing both sides as much as it seems like she's playing it? I mean, that Brains tribe is very entertaining right now. And honestly, for as much of a pain in the ass as he was, and he's gone now, Kent was a big reason why that tribe is the mess that it's currently going to be. Like, they're not going to suddenly unify and be kumbaya just because Kent is gone. He's laid groundwork and he's made problems. And that's going to, I think, continue forward for sure. Oh, I was coming through the wrong mic, McKenna.
Were you?
Yeah, I sound better now, don't I?
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. Sorry, everybody. I don't know what's going on with my camera and everything. I know this is like our big grand entrance into Australian Survivor. My bad. I don't know what's going on.
Your audio isn't cutting out, at least.
Okay. It sounded okay enough, I guess. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. You sounded fine.
Disastrous start. Disastrous beginning. I'm not going to tell everybody that I burned the person's hat, though, if I burned the person's hat. So I guess I'm doing better than that.
But what was cute was Indy made Max a hat out of palm fronds. And so he got a little hat back.
He did. What did he actually call it, though? It was more like a tiara or something like that. He said it was more like something else.
Well, because it was just like a little ring. It didn't have the top to it. It was just a visor, basically. People also on this Brains tribe, we don't have to worry about it anymore because he's out. But Kent kind of reminded me of Matt from Amazon, because they were all commenting. This is like the second episode they commented about him with the machete being like weird and like chopping things. And I was just like, is he about to like pull an Amazon and just everybody thinks he's a serial killer with a machete?
Kent was funny, because Kent really wanted to be there. I actually did find his backstory to be, you know, like, it was emotional how he's like, I have all this money, but this is the one thing I want. And like, I don't have all this money, but like, I can empathize with that, right? Of like, you know, you can do all these great things. We do this podcast, all that stuff. I want to play Survivor. Like, that at the end of the day is what I would rather actually do, is play Survivor. So I felt like Kent had a good reason for being on this island. It's just like, Yeah, Kent, you went out there and you overplayed so hard. Like, well, he wanted to be in control of everything. He wanted to make himself known. It's almost like he was playing to play again. That's what it felt like to me with Kent. So, Matt Miller says, what's the likelihood Kent actually bought Max a fancy new leather hat? I mean, I bet he did. Yeah. What did you think? What was the reason? What could have possibly been the reason why he told them at Tribal Council?
I don't know, to make this like big fancy move, but like I don't know what the move is, and I don't know how burning his hat helps his case for throwing Miles under the bus. I really just do not know why he told them at all.
It made no sense to me.
Absolutely
made no sense to me. And like, what was weird about it is how a lot of them giggled about it, and then the women got really annoyed and they were like, that's like nasty, that's bad. But a lot of them did just react in like, oh my God, that's so clever, blah, blah. It's like, I don't understand what the point of telling them was. I think if he doesn't tell them, he might have survived. Mm-hmm. I really believe that. I think he might have actually lived through that episode had he not told them.
Yeah, I think Kent would have been the, because I forget who said it, but like Kent is just like a nothing burger at this moment. Like, we could get Kent out anytime. Let's go for something.
That was AJ.
Yeah, it might have been AJ. So like Kent would have been coasting, I feel, unless he still had this drive to get Miles out. But I think he would have been fine. And with episode 3, him doing well in the challenge, getting all the targets, I think that would have kind of curbed any votes that could potentially go his way.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, he was good in the challenge. He was right about that. He said, I did a really good job in the challenge. He's right. He did do a really good job in the challenge. That's not the whole game though. That's not what Survivor is. And it's like, for somebody who wanted to play so bad, who seemed like he actually understood, you know, the history of Survivor, how do you mess that up that bad?
I don't know. You just got to be quiet. If you burn the hat, you got to be quiet about it. you don't speak about it. I feel like this really is the brains moment, because we have more on the brains of like Karen hating Rich because he's not helping with the shelter. Their shelter sucks and they're trying to, you know, build it back up. But Rich is just like, I'm not going to help. He's just like, kind of just standing there joking with Max, and he's not really doing anything, and they're just trying to make their living conditions a little bit better, and he's just not doing much about it.
Yeah, I mean, is that a valid reason in Australian Survivor? I feel like in US Survivor, nobody would care about that. Is that a real valid reason to be like, I want to vote this person out, even if they're seeming like they're going to work with you number-wise?
I don't know that Karen knows that Rich is going to work with them, because she's not in the Victoria Alliance and she's not Laura. Mm-hmm. I feel like Laura has the connection to Rich. Everyone else is kind of bugged by Rich.
Yeah. I mean, Laura is the one who's definitely protecting Rich, but Laura also feels like she's the one who is controlling this tribe. No, like, she 100%. Is the one who is in control 100% of that coven alliance. Mm-hmm. So what she says is going, and when she pushed back against Rich, it seemed like that mattered though. But also at the same time, you can't not talk about that scene on the beach. The scene on the beach was excellent, where Rich came up right behind all of them when they were talking about voting out Rich, and I thought that was great. And I'm gonna change over, so you keep talking. I'm gonna try to get this on my laptop because I'm tired of me glitching. It's driving me absolutely insane. I can't handle it. I don't know why it's happening.
So Rich walking up to them was wild, because then they tried to play off like, oh no, wait, what? Indy was saying all that? We weren't saying any of that. And then at Tribal Council, it kind of comes out that the girls were saying all of this, that the girls were trying to get Rich out. So I don't know how he's going to play it coming these next few episodes, especially with this pending all guys alliance. So we'll see, you know, how Rich kind of integrates himself back in the tribe, or if he is more of like a rock, an opposing force, rather than, you know, a malleable person in the game.
Okay, now I got to remove myself. Did that echo forever? Eternity?
You're good now. No.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
I got to figure out mine. You keep talking. I got to figure out mine.
Phil? So in episode 2, the only other thing that happened on the Braun tribe was Zen telling Nash about his flip. And I don't know why Zen would tell Nash about the flip, because I feel like that doesn't make sense either. Zen owning up to it, and then Nash is now not trusting Zen as much because he was like, hey, I showed you the idol, so why wouldn't you trust me? You were my day one, like, we were talking about it in the premiere, how Nash was pulling Zen, you know, very directly, that they were kind of number ones, but people saw Ursula as closer. So I think Zen should have been like, no, it wasn't me. I didn't flip, and try and pin it on someone else, that someone else flipped. Are you back now, Phil?
All right. I can hear you now. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, now it's like glitchy Wi-Fi wise. So we'll see how this goes. Sorry, everybody. Again, I just don't know why my computer screen is doing that. It's driving me so insane. There's no reason it should be happening. Anyway, so I missed what you said up until that point because I was still trying to come in. So Here I am. Welcome.
It was just basically why the heck would Zen tell Nash about the flip?
Yeah. So it was like, okay, that was another weird moment, and that's where I'm really bummed that we didn't get to see Nash ultimately play, or I'm sorry, Zen play more Survivor, because I feel like there would have been more solutions to these problems, and maybe more would have happened, and I would have liked to have seen this all play out in the end, because we don't, like, that's a bad move from Zen. That move makes no sense, in my opinion, from Zen. It feels like he's going out of his way to tell Nash, almost like, look, I'm going to build trust with you because I'm telling you this or something. But it doesn't make sense, because why would Nash trust you if you're telling him that you were the one who flipped on him? So The whole thing is just a giant question mark to me.
Yeah. And that won't be answered.
Yeah. I don't understand it. And I don't know what was Zen's ultimate motive? What was he hoping was going to happen at the end of the day if he continues on in the game? Was he just that confident that Nash was going to go home? But why would you tell Nash that if he's the one who found idols and stuff? Because then wouldn't Nash be the one who wants to turn around and spin it on you? So it made no sense to me.
Yeah. So we had two pretty good challenges in episode 2. I feel like with this slip and slide challenge, grabbing the sandbags to then knock over the puzzle pieces, to then go do the puzzle in the water, was a crazy challenge with so many steps that US would never do. It would just be like, all right, grab the puzzle piece from the slip inside and then do the puzzle. But I like that they did the puzzle then in the water. We never really see that unless it's like a water puzzle, like everyone's in the water already.
I thought this is a really cool puzzle, and we see Indy actually do a really good job of explaining to them where to go on the Brains tribe of how to build their puzzle. I think that the challenges on Australian Survivor are infinitely better than the US Survivor challenges. And I've talked about this a lot on the Patreon. I don't think it's close. They really understand the assignment of what you're supposed to be doing, what people want. And obviously they have more screen time, but at this point they don't have that much more screen time per episode than what US Survivor has. These challenges are exciting, and watching them, you know, push the vase over with their long poles in the immunity challenge in episode number 3, like, I wish that US Survivor did more of that stuff. It's just flat out more creative. And I don't jump on, so many people say, oh, it's so much better. Australian Survivor is better than US Survivor. I think that's totally false. I think that's like almost 100% false. I don't think that there's been a season of Australian Survivor that is as consistently good as most seasons of US Survivor, just because there's so many episodes. But from a challenge perspective, it's not even close. I mean, it blows US out of the water, and it's always exciting to watch the challenges. Like, I look forward to the challenges. I don't do that on US.
And everyone knows if they've seen John and I podcast, I love the challenge portion of Survivor. It's one of my favorite, aspects of the game. And to have like these really creative and something that I would never think of challenges, like the second one in this of push a spool to get sandbags and targets and then throw the bags on the targets, like that, just that giant spool in itself is crazy.
I love the targets portion of it, putting them way up rather than, mm-hmm. I mean, how many times now have we seen, okay, you have to throw the ball up on that platform thing and it has to stay, mm-hmm. or we see the ones all the time of like throw the sandbag and land it. I like that they're up on an elevated platform. They're throwing at something further away. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's really fun. I really do. And, you know, at the end of the day, I think US Survivor realized that their audience isn't watching necessarily for challenges. I think that's why they've backed off. It's something that they don't have to do all that well, and people are still going to tune in because that's not what the audience is looking for. However, I do feel like there's no harm in making your whole show perfect. And I feel like they took over what Australian Survivor does.
Yeah.
That would be a huge step in the right direction for US Survivor. However, I don't think we see that ever until they get to, if they ever go back to 39 days, because now they're at 26 days. They're not going to add in more challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's working, if people are watching, if people are tuning in, why fix it, right? If my computer breaks only once every 10 times and not every time, okay.
Yeah.
We'll keep on going with this computer and hope it keeps working.
And then obviously the reward was either a whole fish or fishing gear. Rich wanted the fish and everyone else was like, no, the fishing gear, and we're not going to catch a fish.
So here's my thing, right? I don't necessarily know if I fault Rich for his reasoning. I agree. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to take the fishing gear. There's no question about that, but I don't necessarily fault Rich for his reasoning. Cause his reasoning was like, well, we could end up getting a lot more food. Like we could end like one, this could end up being much more food and we're all going to get a lot right now and we're going to get a tuna, whatever. And then there's going to be other opportunities to get food.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't necessarily disagree because also Australian Survivor always swaps. They're probably going to swap at 18. You swap at 18. You got this at final 22. Like a lot of, you might not even be the beneficiary of this further down the line.
True, because it stays at camp. So if you're not even at that camp. Speaking of food, in the beginning of episode 3, we have Zen's moment of talking about he wants protein, he wants more food, because all they have is rice and beans and rice and beans, rice, mushy beans, and just a whole like menu of how they cook their rice and beans.
Yeah, I'm not buying that it's going to taste any different. He tried. He tried his best. He tried to make it sound like it was going to be enticing. To me, it didn't sound like it was going to be any different. It felt like it is funny to me that almost every Australian Survivor episode starts with like a camp life scene,
mm-hmm.
which is something that US Survivor has just totally removed. Like now US Survivor, it's always, well, what's the ramifications of last night's tribal?
Yeah, it's always at night.
Yeah, it's always that. And you, an Australian Survivor almost always does a camp life scene to start mm-hmm. every episode, which is just really funny.
Yeah, because I was waiting for that at the beginning of episode 2. Like, all right, let's talk about Nash and Zen. And then it wasn't
there. It wasn't there right away. I know. All right. What else do we have to cover here from these episodes? Did we miss anything, or should we jump around to some players?
We have the idol napkin map.
Yeah, so that's Pauly of all people out of nowhere.
Yeah, Pauly is starting to really gain his strategic footing. He shares the clue, or doesn't share the actual clue, but shared that he got a clue with Noonan, but not that he already actually had the idol. And that, I think, is pretty much it aside from this second challenge, which was an obstacle course to push the vase, and it was the slingshot to immunity. But other than that, I think that covers both episodes.
What do you think about Pauly telling Noonan he found a clue? Because Noonan was on to him, and Noonan said, mm-hmm. I think that's why you walked away. And he already felt like he was close with Noonan, so he was okay with doing this. But what do you think about Paulie actually making this decision to tell Noonan and to move forward in this way, but not tell her that he had found the idol?
I mean, it's Brandon Hance in South Pacific. So if she gets too nosy about it, you just refind the idol with her and make sure she doesn't have her hands on it. Because then you got to go into technicalities of like, this was actually my idol before, it's in my possession, blah, blah, blah. So I think if it gets weird, then he has to just rehide it and refind it.
Yeah, which I could see definitely happening. Although I think Noonan is a lot smarter for the game than Brandon Hance.
Yes, I'm not like Noonan is a lot better. Yeah.
I don't know if I'm buying that's necessarily going to end up working out. So we'll see. We'll have to see what ends up happening there. But what I want to talk about then is, so this is the second time here that Jairo De Garcia has brought it up. Logan's intro package is interesting in episode 3. We get her intro package. We get her talking about how she thinks she's one of the most social people ever, how she does all these things, you know, what she is, the wag or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. What did you think about Logan? Because we hadn't heard from Logan in the first two episodes, despite the fact that she was a part of that main alliance.
Yeah, I was shocked when Allie was like, Logan's my girl. Logan's my number one. And I was just like, we heard nothing from either of you to know that you guys are just like tight. And Sandy, Wag is wife and girlfriend. So she's currently a wife. You're muted.
I was listening to something on my other, now that I have two computers going right now, I was listening to something to see the Logan intro package again. That's what I was pulling up. But yeah, because she was specifically talking about the wag, and I had said she's like Monica Culpepper, but when she's talking about it in that episode, she is talking about how you don't actually want to tell people you're a wag. That's what I was
thinking,
right? And I thought that was a really interesting point that she was making of, you don't want to tell people. And even in the wag community, there's a hierarchy, right? Like there's, you know, if you look at it from the football point of view, there's a Taylor Swift version of this. And then there's the offensive lineman, the backup offensive lineman's girlfriend. Like there's a big difference there. So I thought that was interesting. I really like Logan's spot here. When I'm looking at how I think that this could go for her, to me, she's falling in the middle. Like that, I know that AJ wants to vote her out, but it seems like AJ, he said, you can't tell anybody, Allie. And Allie was like, okay. And then immediately went and told Logan. So I don't feel like Logan's in any more danger than she was before this episode because the people who are supposed to be protecting her are protecting her.
Yeah. That would be the same for you, Kate, if you had just voted out Ursula, but you know, gotta bring it back.
I have to say too, like the one of the things that I really notice on Australian Survivor versus US Survivor, now this is the first time I get to talk about it on YouTube rather than talking about it over on Patreon, is they are much more willing to show butts on Australian Survivor.
Yes.
I don't know if everybody notices this. I hope you do. Like John's entire reason for playing Survivor All-Stars was because he just like would walk around with his butt out all the time. And it wasn't blurred. It's like not blurred in Australian, which that would, I mean, go watch Survivor China. Amanda Kimmel is blurred the entire season. Kate's bathing suit choice is interesting to me as I sit here and as I watch this season, I'm like, oh, what's up, Kate? How you doing? Because it's so funny, like on US Survivor, they would never allow that.
No, when she got up from the slip inside, I was like, holy cheeks, Batman. Like,
I know.
I was did it ride up that much? I was like, no, everyone else isn't like riding up that much.
And I'm not sitting here being like, oh, what a disaster. I can't believe we had to look at such a thing. It's just like, you know, I'm just saying.
You muted yourself.
I'm back. It's so, so noticeable. So that's what I wanted to say. I just need to get
because you said it like right in our intro of like, look at my outfit that I'm wearing currently with the denim and like the skimpy and like I'm doing it on purpose.
Yeah. Well, and that's like what I've kind of gotten from Kate here is like, we know that Kate has OCD. Like you had posted that whole thing with the, in the PowerPoint and everything, but I don't really know much about Kate on the island.
Yeah.
And so for me, it is like when Kate is making these choices of what she's wearing to go out on the island, she's thinking about what she's wearing to get out on the island and how that's going to impact her game. Mm-hmm. And on the Braun tribe, I don't necessarily think that this is the worst decision, because the Braun tribe, you know, is probably going to be like, woohoo. Like, look, she has to be strong here, as opposed to sometimes you see somebody who's her size. If you're not showing off your body, it might be like, okay, like, she's the weakest one. That's an easy vote out. If you're seeing her walking around all the time and she is muscular, which she's definitely showing off muscles as well, is what I'm trying to say. So I think that this actually was a smart move on her part.
I feel it also makes her more relatable to the Brains come a swap. Like, she might be perceived as like the underdog of the Bronze because of, you know, the rhinestone jean outfit.
Yeah. Well, that's when my question then becomes, she goes over to the Brain tribe. Can she turn it off and be like, okay, I also brought this other bathing suit that's going to make me fit in.
Sweater vest.
Right? Yeah. Although as we're sitting here talking about the Brain tribe, that's where we have the WAG. So it's like, okay. Yeah. I mean, it's like Australian Survivor is not exactly casting hard to look at people on their show. Let's talk a little bit about the Bronze, because we got the vote out in the first episode and then they lose their second person, but we did see two vote outs from Brains here. So let's talk about the Bronze and let's talk about something other than Kate's bathing suit. Let's talk about like Ben vanished. He has not been on this season yet. He's good at challenges. That's it. He's getting like,
yeah, they're using him as the muscle for the entire, for everything. Cause he's like the big, Battle of the Beefcakes. Ben was in that, and then Rich face plants.
And then Rich fell right off the bat, exactly. Which, yeah, shocker that the Bronze dominated a Braun-esque challenge, right?
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable.
Loaded.
And then
fries.
When I sit here and I look at the rest of them, like Jesse didn't do much in episodes 2 and 3. He was the skateboarder on top of the
giant wasn't school. Doing well. For like he was behind in the spool the entire time.
Yeah. Yep. And then who's next? Kate, like we said, Kristen disappeared. Noonan is still doing a lot over there. Nash is still doing a lot. Paulie had a big episode.
Yep.
PD and Morgan, not much. I don't have much to say about them. And then Ursula, her name doesn't come up. I mean, I understand that the Brains lost both immunity challenges. Mm-hmm. But we really spent most of our time with the Brains and with like Nash and Noonan. Like that's what it feels like. And then Paulie obviously finding the idol, but that related into
Noonan. It was really like Noonan's idol search played into like Paulie played into that.
Yeah. 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 So episode 2 was called The Praying Mantis, by the way, which that is such a great.
That makes sense.
That was a great episode from Kent describing all of that. I thought that was a lot of fun. I mean, I understand Kent probably drove people nuts. I feel like we got a good amount of Kent, but he was there. He brought
He was my first boot from the tribe. I was one off.
Yeah. You weren't too bad there. You really weren't too bad. So let me ask you then, let's jump into if you're predicting into next week. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's going to be 3 people who are going home. We're not going to talk until the end of the week next time. But when you're looking at how the Brains tribe is set up right now, the Coven taking this, or is somebody in the Coven going to be in trouble because the guys are going to say, you know what, screw this. We're not giving the women all this power.
I think it might default to Rich and Laura talking, and they're going to be the new powerhouses of the tribe, and they're going to decide who goes from what side. If one of the guys does something weird, then I think one of the guys go. If one of the girls does something weird, I think AJ's in the hot seat from Logan. So maybe AJ might go, but and the boys club is maybe a fake thing for Rich. I don't know. But I think Laura and Rich really need to have a sit down and a talk, because they're kind of on the same page with each other.
Yeah, to me, it feels like AJ and Miles are still in the most trouble. Like I had said earlier that maybe this guy's thing really does work, but I think AJ and Miles still might be in the most trouble. I think the women will work together. I think they got rid of the person in Indy who could blow up their games. And I think that the women are more likely to swing a man than the men are to swing a woman. But I agree with you. I think Rich is the man. I think Laura and Rich are about to play a solid back and forth game. Because for as much as the girls don't necessarily like Rich, Laura does. And so do the guys. The guys like Rich. We're not hearing bad things from the guys. Max and Rich are getting along really well. AJ's not trying to vote out Rich. You know, you're seeing him over at the water well. Miles is just so out there as it is. I don't think that makes a difference. And Kaylin doesn't seem to have a problem with anybody. So I feel like we are going to have a the same people kind of in trouble. I think the men probably go home here, but I don't think it's Rich who's going to be the one who goes. We have somebody here. Ryan Chan says Allie is the one who can swing a guy over. I mean, I don't necessarily disagree with that, but this is, you know, just where I'm coming from at this point. I think Laura's going to call the shot of who that is.
I don't know if you've seen this in your watch of Australian Survivor, probably, but where they vote someone out pre-merge to the other tribe and it infiltrates. So maybe we see that within these next three episodes.
Yeah, that's true. We have Jenny Kay says we're getting an extra non-elimination to make up for Zen's medevac. I think that's 100% going to happen too. I think like we're definitely going to have a non-elimination next week. Honestly, the week might end with a non-elimination, which is a bummer. Unless it's a tribe swap. I'm always okay when they do the tribe swaps without an elimination. I actually think that works. But sometimes the way they do non-eliminations don't work.
Yeah.
All right, let's wrap up with Braun now. What do you see taking place over there? Because now Zen's gone. Candy went home in a plurality. What do you think is going to happen?
Nash has the tribe. I feel like there aren't enough voices to fully come. It's Noonan versus Nash. And Pauly has the idol who's working with Noonan. So maybe they can wedge an angle to try and get someone out. But I feel like Nash is just going to take over the tribe. I feel like because he didn't go out at that first tribal council, or Ursula didn't go out at that first tribal council, that he's in it for the long haul here.
Really? So you think Nash is in control on the Braun tribe?
I think people are just too scared of him to do anything else. Cause does he have five people right now? Morgan, Kate, himself, Ursula, Kristen. Yeah. And then I could see like Kristen pulling PD over, and then there it is.
Yeah. I could see that. I mean, I don't disagree with you. I could absolutely see that. So yeah, maybe Nash is just going to roll, but the thing is, like, if that idol is played correctly and Nash goes, all of a sudden that whole thing falls apart. And now Noonan and Pauly are the ones running it. So Adrian Celeste says,
battle.
Yeah, Adrian Celeste says, between the Brains and Braun, where do you think this winner is going to be out of these two after the first week? What are you predicting, McKenna, since Candy's gone?
Well, now it's Max. It's Brains.
So you think Max is still going to win even after his hat and everything got burned? Do you think so?
I have to believe he faced adversity in the first episode and he's rising above.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I don't buy it. I think that the winner is going to come from Braun.
Okay.
I do. I think it's either going to come from Braun or it's going to be one of the Coven. That's my prediction.
Okay. I mean, I would rather one of the Coven. I'm just not digging the Braun tribe as much as the Brains, I feel. We were kind of lower on them in the cast assessment, too. We were like, what the heck is this tribe going to do?
Yeah, I think, honestly, what the reason for it is, and this is how, like, this is just why I feel that way, is you get the back-to-back episodes of Brains going, and they over edit the crap out of the tribe that goes. Like, that's just what Australian Survivor does. They really, really do over edit one side over the other. And then with Zen also going home, they gave Zen his flower
moment. Yeah.
Right. Like, they kept playing the rap music behind him and stuff like that. So yeah, I feel like, I don't know. I feel like a Braun is probably going to win, but
I did say Karen was my female winner pick from Brains. So I've got,
I think that
Ben, Max, and Karen.
Yeah, in that positioning, I feel like I had Logan, and I still like Logan's spot, but Laura's playing the best game. It's just a matter of, like, can she keep the target off of her for long enough? Zara has been nothing so far, which is interesting because she's part of it. She's been in
that's true.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's going to do it for our Australian Survivor Week 1 coverage. Again, sorry about the camera cutting. It was driving me crazy, so I switched over, and then who knows if my mic was good. This is the most chaotic episode we're going to have. We'll get it sorted for next time. This is also my third podcast of the day, so I'm exhausted at this point. My throat can't handle it. I have a head cold. I feel awful. This is terrible. So everything was going to fall apart today. This was the day. But thank you for listening. We'll be back again next Tuesday. That is the plan, is to do next Tuesday. It is, in fact, going to be the 23rd, 24th, and 25th. So it's airing Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So our plan is to be back Tuesday in the afternoon at some point, and we will be recapping episodes 4, 5, and 6. So thank you all so much for listening. Subscribe to the channel, like the video, become a patron, patreon.com/thespecialist. On Friday, McKenna and I are putting out the first 3 episodes of Brain vs. Brawn 1 for Australian Survivor. So that's for our top 2 tiers of patronage. So if you want to jump over there and become a patron, McKenna and I will be talking about Brains vs. Brawn 1, episodes 1 through 3. And every Friday, we'll be doing Brains vs. Brawn 1 alongside Brains vs. Brawn 2 over here on the YouTube channel. So thank you all so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed this, and I'll see you next time.
Goodbye.